Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's our text. So we talked this week about walking in the light, what that meant, and that it's quite difficult. Because we are sons and daughters of those who, when they had fallen, sought to hide and cover themselves with fig leaves. After we are confronted concerning our sin, we are all too often tempted to blame other people, and in particular, God. It's the woman you gave me, the snake you made. God, you made this mess. That is the way we tend to respond, in part because we don't know God as he wants to be known. That is what happened in the fall. Man no longer knows who he is dealing with. And that is why when God begins to reveal himself, man cannot deal with this in a wise and healthy manner. It's God's fault. That is what many do today, whether they, when they are looking at the Word, or perhaps at how the world suffers. I've heard people say, I would not have designed the world this way if I were God. This is how people speak and betray their ignorance of where they stand, the path that they are on, and what God intends to do. But for the Christian, for the psalmist, for the believer, that's not the way we talk. That's not the way we think. That's why Lent is such a prominent season in the life of the church. Lord, search me and try me. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. This can't be said except by someone with faith. If you have a hard time praying that prayer, it's probably because your old sinful nature does not want to be found out, and you don't know, or you have doubts about how God thinks of you. Fallen man can never bear to deal with love apart from faith. When love comes approaching, when love comes to meddle in our lives, what I mean by love is the one who comes to speak to us about what truly love is and what it's not. When his actions are examined, that is man, he covers up and he blames, he lies, deceiving himself. And he avoids the only one who can help. He can't deal with love apart from faith. And so he runs away, and if necessary, he would even kill the one who comes, love incarnate. That's what they did to Jesus. He speaks about God meddling in his life, his light, God's light, as something painful and difficult to bear. He blames God for people leaving the church. Without faith, Paul tells us, it's impossible to please God. The psalmist makes clear just who God is and reminds us how that in order to deal with God, we must be willing to be seen, to be understood in a way that doesn't make our sinful natures comfortable. Only when we come to know God as he truly is, by faith, will we be willing to be engaged in this way. Notice that God is engaged with his creation. In Genesis, before the fall, he walked and he talked with his creatures in the garden. And even after the fall, he still engages us, even as he engaged Adam and Eve. Even though this makes us quite uncomfortable, putting on fig leaves and hiding. The psalmist begins the psalm, "You searched and you know. You have searched and you know. You know me, you understand me, you comprehend me. You know my thoughts, my words, my deeds. You know where I am, I can't hide from you. Even the darkness is light to you." This is intimidating. This is difficult for sinners to hear. We can't hide, we can't cover up. We are laid bare. It's hard to bear partially because our sinful nature is at war with God, and we don't want to come across like that. We don't want to take responsibility for that sinful nature that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, in Romans chapter 8, which we'll hear about this coming Sunday. Over and over again in our culture, we find those who make money and reputation by trying to cover up the sins of their neighbors, to call us to ignore those who judge. That is a very popular thing today. Quit apologizing, one wag offers. Believe in your dang self, she says. But that's not the heart or the desire of a believer, of the new man, even as he walks in Lent. For the person who has faith knows God as he wants to be known. The image of the Father begins to ring true in the heart of the man who is being restored. We know our sins, and we know that they are not hidden from God. And we know that the only person we deceive is ourselves when we deny that we have sin. The believer, the person who has faith, they've heard. They've heard about God coming to engage us, coming to search and try us out. As we said of the woman at the well, she didn't find this to be a very difficult thing. As a matter of fact, she said something that most of us would never want to say about it. Come and see this one who told me everything I ever did. What a weird way of thinking. Today we live in the world of pretense, virtue signaling, self-righteousness and arrogance. This one seems to have lost all of that. Come see this one who told me everything I ever did. And he did not run away. He did not turn away. But he actually starts to tell us about the Messiah as he was prophesied. The Messiah who comes to take upon himself our debt, my sin. The things I'm ashamed of that I want to hide, he would take them on the cross with himself. He would bear them and he would be punished in my place. He paid my debt to the last penny. He came and walked in this world and embraced our troubles, breathed our poison air, even while he kept the law perfectly in our place, even while we tried to accuse him of making a mess, ruining things, even as the Jews did, even as we still do today. This one comes, and in his great love for us, he does those works, and he engages us. He continues to do his work of making us holy, of showing us our sin. We begin to understand and appreciate the Lord's way of engaging, and we don't try to run away from it, but rather we desire the light, as Paul says, walk as children of the light. Walk in it. We desire that light. The light that is rooted and focused on Christ, who is the light of the world. The image of this one whom we are being shaped into. The psalmist in faith cries out that God would engage us wholly. These words are hard to get past. Search me, O Lord. How many of us feel comfortable with that? And yet, that is the only way that we will be shaped and formed into the image of God. God doing the work, like a great physician, dealing with our sin, our sin-sick souls, the disease of original sin. This light, Paul makes clear in Ephesians 5, we say, turn it on. For we know that it stems and it comes and it is rooted in the love of God for men and women and children who are sick unto death. This is the prayer of the new man. Search me. We go to the doctor today. We have our temperature taken. He looks at our eyes, he looks in our throat, he looks at us over and over again. Our culture is completely fixed on those works of those people in the medical profession. We want to be enlightened. What's our problem? What's our sickness? And so we are willing to submit to the great physician. We actually want him to search us, to know our hearts. The scriptures teach us that we don't even know our hearts. Paul tells us in Romans 7, I don't understand why I do what I do. The good I want to do, that's the very thing I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, that's the very thing I do. I don't understand myself. Lord, search me. Come to know my heart. Reveal to me what my trouble is. The root of my sins. For you do not give up on me. You want to bring to completion the good work you began in my baptism when you washed away my sins, made me a new person, adopted me into your family. Try me and know my anxieties. What a lovely phrase. Try me. Lord, put me in positions that are not comfortable and easy. Show me your word and see if I will follow your word rather than what makes me comfortable, what eases my anxieties, what makes me feel good. Test me. It's an amazing statement. That's what the Christian wants to happen to them, to be tested so that my weaknesses become apparent, so that I know where they are and I know where I need help. Put me to the test. Prove me. Highlight my anxieties and my worries and my self-sufficiency. Enable me to see in Christ all that I need, all of our riches. Reveal any wicked way in me. How different that is from the world we live in. Don't talk about my sins. Don't talk about my failures. How dare you do that? No, that's not the way of a Christian. The Christian wants to see those things. She wants the Lord to reveal those things before they actually come to the surface and hurt neighbor, family, friends. Who else could we learn this from? We by nature lie. We deceive ourselves. And so we want the light. We want the truth to come and reveal it to us. Reveal it, for while it is a damning way, you reveal it to me so that I might turn and repent and turn away from sin and turn to Christ alone. And then finally, that last bit of the prayer, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. The way of daily repentance and forgiveness. This is what God is doing. This is where we find him. And that is where God is leading us. Daily leading us again and again to repentance and faith. To repentance and faith. We trust his lead and guiding, for we have walked with him to the cross each Lent. And understand where our sins end up. We understand who pays for them. We understand who won us. Life everlasting. He leads us to the cross so that we ponder what our sins, what our wicked ways cost. And so we ponder his great love for us, which came down from the cross and was buried for 3 days and then rose to go and prepare a home for us, a real home, a place where we could live forever. Lord, search me, try me, and lead me, and guide me. The prayer of sinners who have come to know the grace and mercy of God in Christ Jesus, who have given up hiding and blaming and find their life and safety in the hands of the one who lived and died, the hands that were nailed to the cross, the hands that rose to lead us home. to point the way, to carry us when life gets burdensome. This is what it means to be a healthy man, woman, or child. We revel in the words that God speaks to us. He says it so beautifully in the psalmist. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We as his children this day desire those precious thoughts, those words, for they are more precious than gold. They are the things by which we live and die and rise again. Amen.